The following sports presentation is a production of Blazers Broadcasting. Welcome to Trailblazers Courtside, presented by Pacific Power. Here in Portland, call toll-free 503-963-4595. Elsewhere, call 1-877-475-4595. Email courtside at trailblazers.com or text message us courtside at 66937.
Welcome in, Trailblazers Courtside, as we come to you live from our Rose Garden studios here on the Blazers Radio Network, Comcast Sportsnet, and of course streaming live as always on trailblazers.com. Jay Allen, former Blazer Michael Holton, and Rebecca Harlow back with you as we, of course, welcome our radio audience in as well, 95.5 The Game in Portland. And we're going to get to Brandon Roy in just a few minutes. I'm excited to talk to three-time All-Star Brandon Roy, and we certainly appreciate he's a busy guy, even though, you know, people say, well, he's not playing right now. He's got all kinds of time on his hands. Well, he's got two kids, first of all, that he's chasing around, but rehabbing from the hamstring, guys, and, you know, and he's been putting a lot of time in at the practice facility. Absolutely. Trying to fight back from the strained hamstring.
Yeah, you know, we see him every single day. Every time I'm there, he's there. Mm-hmm. Throwing those weights around. So, you know, the good thing is about all these guys who have been injured is during the season, there's no time for practice or even lifting as much as the guys would want. So at least they can take advantage of that other stuff when they're down with those injuries.
Yeah, and then you also want to try to stay in rhythm with your teammates in terms of camaraderie. And when you're not practicing, you miss a little bit of that. So it takes a little bit of extra effort between your workouts to be in the locker room when practice ends and to kind of hang and be in the mix.
Brandon will be with us in just a few minutes, so stay tuned for that. In fact, if you have a question for Brandon, you can text it to it. Just send the word courtside to 66937, or you can email us a question or comment for Brandon, courtside at trailblazers.com. All right, the Blazers had a big win last night over the Charlotte Bobcats. They used a run in the fourth quarter. 22-7 was the run when the Blazers pulled away, and they win at 98-79. And Michael, we were talking a little bit earlier, Nicholas Batum was just huge down the stretch. So was Dante Cunningham with a career-high 10 points.
Well, Jay, speed and quickness is such a key variable. And when Nicholas Batum gets up and down the floor, that was the difference in the Trailblazers against the Bobcats. Then in recent games in the fourth quarter where you thought the team got a little stagnant in the fourth quarter. But now with stops and energy and defense and running, you see the difference in putting your foot on the gas down the stretch.
And Rebecca, I know you were impressed with Dante last night, huh?
I know. You know, I thought he was doing all of the little things really well. I really liked the offensive boards. I liked the tip-ins. I liked the overall effort that we were seeing from him last night. And he continues to impress us with his IQ, and I'm sure you would agree with this, but his understanding of the game and his 4 years in college, it's just so clear when he's out there playing, and he doesn't look like a rookie.
No. He understands positioning. I mean, those tip-ins in transition. Mm-hmm. A lot of guys quit on those plays. You got somebody with a breakaway, you just kind of shorten your steps, you start short-legging it. Dante Cunningham goes right to the front of the rim and cleans up the garbage.
He was kind of joking last night. Excuse me, right? He was joking last night after the game. He said, you know, I never know from one night if I'm going to play 7 minutes or 30, which last night was a career high for him. He's just always ready, like the rest of the guys on the roster.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, you know, he practices really hard, mm-hmm. and I like his work ethic. So I think that's one great thing about all of the Blazers is you could go down that list and no matter who it is sitting on the bench, you know they're working really hard in practice. I mean, another guy who got a minute or two last night, Patty Mills, 137, is another guy who's always working really hard in practice too.
You know, Travis Outlaw, there's news on Travis, and we're going to hear from Brandon Roy in just a couple of minutes, but Travis Outlaw told us today at the practice facility, I know Kevin Pritchard was talking about it as well, but Travis went through a pretty strenuous workout with Monty Williams, and Travis had a good sweat worked up afterward. I was out there at the facility, and he walked off, you know, and he's huffing and puffing a little bit. He said, hey, my legs are not quite there yet, but he said, I feel good. The foot feels good. He told me he had an x-ray a couple of weeks ago. The bone is completely filled in, so they feel like the healing process is pretty much complete. I'm not sure if it's quite 100%, but it looks like Travis is going to be back in that week following the All-Star break.
A lot to be excited about. I mean, as this team starts to get guys back and depth starts to become a part of the conversation again, you start looking at the versatility of the roster. Travis at the four, mm-hmm. maybe Nicholas at the four, a little small ball, speeding up the defensive energy, staying in the open court. Boy, that sounds exciting.
All right, we got to take a quick timeout. When we return, Brandon Roy will be with us live right here on Trailblazers Courtside on the Blazers Radio Network, Comcast Sportsnet, and streaming live at trailblazers.com.
Now, back to Courtside, presented by Pacific Power on the Trailblazers Radio Network.
Trailblazers Courtside continues. Jay Allen, Michael Holton, Rebecca Harlow with you. And it's a pleasure now to be joined live by three-time NBA All-Star Brandon Roy. B-Roy is with us tonight. Brandon, thanks so much for a few minutes of your time. How are you doing this evening?
I'm doing good. How you guys doing?
Hey, we're doing great. Thanks for coming on. And I know the very first question Blazer fans want to know, so I'm just going to get it out of the way off the top. How are you feeling? How's the hamstring? And do you have a sense of when you might be able to be back on the court?
The hamstring is doing better. You know, I talked to Coach this morning, and we don't want to, you know, set a date to come back because we don't, you know, he doesn't want to put that pressure on me to feel like I have to you know, be back. He just wants me to be comfortable and feel like I can go out there and play and have this injury behind me. So, I'm looking forward to being back as soon as possible. He did mention that he would like me to practice before I play. So hopefully Friday I'll be able to practice with the team when they come back and after the San Antonio game. But, you know, it's something that is frustrating. It's a nagging injury, but it's just something that I have to get through. And hopefully when it's over with, I'll be able to play the rest of the season and not worry about it anymore.
Brandon, have you had this type of injury before, ever injured a hamstring?
Yeah, I had something similar to it last season. I think I missed four games because of it. And it feels similar. Just the difference between last year, it was about a week and a half stretch, but we didn't play as many games, so I didn't feel like I missed as much. But right now we're on a stretch where we're playing a lot of, you know, teams that are in the Western Conference race that are right there with us. So every night I just feel like I want to be out there and I just have to continue to be patient. But, you know, I did have this last year. It's something that's been kind of nagging me on and off, and I think I just kind of flared it up a little bit. And, you know, again, like I said, we're trying to get it behind me to where it doesn't bother me anymore.
Do you feel like you're making progress in that right direction, Brandon? When you come back, do you feel like this injury will be behind you?
Yeah, I think so. I worked out, you know, in the gym with our Jay Jensen, our trainer, and every day we do a little bit more. And today was, I think, the best I felt, you know, in a long time. You know, I went through some drills with the team, and Coach Monty Williams put us through some drills with the small forwards and the shooting guards. And, you know, I actually, you know, exploded. I dunked the ball a couple times, and, you know, I felt like it was there, but it didn't feel like it was going to pull on me. So I was pretty excited about that, which let me know that, you know, everything we're doing is right. I just have to continue to just keep working and hopefully, like I said, get this behind me so that it doesn't be, you know, something that keeps reoccurring.
And that was just today. You went through those drills with Monty, right?
Yeah, I went through those today, and I felt really good. You know, I was it was probably the most positive I've been after a workout, you know, because the last couple of days I was a little disappointed. You know, I wanted to heal faster, and then today it felt really good after I played. So, you know, hopefully, you know, I can continue on this track and be back soon.
And so, again, I know you're not saying anything for sure. No date is set in stone. But if you're able to come back and practice on Friday, that means potentially you're back just in time to play Kobe and the Lakers Saturday night.
Yeah. I mean, you know.
Yay!
That's something that, you know, I've been looking at. And it's like, you know, it's almost like pick your poison. You know, it's either Kobe, Kevin Durant at Phoenix. So, every team is, you know, like I said, it's the time of year where every team is kind of taking that next step and really getting into a groove. So it doesn't matter who I come back against. You know, I just want to get back out there and, you know, just play with my teammates. They've been doing such a wonderful job. I'm just excited to get back out there and just help.
Yeah, and B, talking about your teammates, over the last couple of ball games, it seems like they've done a better job kind of finding a handle, especially in the fourth quarter. How exciting is that for you to see that? Because you always have to be the one who carries that load. How important is it to see the guys grow in that way too?
I think it's great. It's just something that they're you're gonna get better at it. I feel like the more reps they've gotten at it, you know, you can tell these last couple games it's been great. I mean, Andre Miller did an unbelievable job of just taking over that game, and that's something that we knew he could do. You know, he can create off the bounce, and he can get other guys involved. And I think he did a great job of that in Dallas. And then, you know, again, you know, just last night against Charlotte, you know, I think we just played so well, I think defensively, that we created a lot of easy opportunities for ourselves on the offensive end. And guys are going to continue to step up. So for me, it's just fun to watch guys grow and mature. And like you said, I just can't wait to get back out there and hopefully just help out and fit in and continue to help this team, you know, get better.
Brandon, to switch reels a little bit, you're a three-time All-Star, and And if you can let us behind the curtain a little bit about what that All-Star experience is like. I mean, obviously you're on the floor with the best players in the world, but whenever you're part of a team or a group, there's the camaraderie, there's the locker room, there's the buses, there's the festivities. Can you let us in a little bit on how that part of the All-Star experience has been for you?
Yeah, it's an incredible experience. You know, I can still remember, you know, just my first All-Star game, and you know, I was just, you know, real, you know, wide-eyed. You know, everywhere we went, I'm just, you know, just trying to just soak it all in. And you know, you spend a lot of time with your teammates. You know, you do a lot of different events, and you know, they even mix up the teams where you'll spend some time with the Eastern Conference players. And I mean, I'm sitting there. I was talking to Tim Duncan. You know, I was able to have conversations with Kobe Bryant, Chauncey Billups, and you know, even you know, on the Eastern Conference team, I was able to do an event with LeBron my first year. And just really getting to see, you know, the person and not the basketball player, and it was really cool for me. So I mean, All-Star Weekend is a great time. It's a chance for players to kind of put their competitiveness against their Western Conference foes away a little bit, and just enjoy each other and be teammates. So I had a unbelievable experience my first 2 years, and I'm really looking forward to this year. You know, especially kind of being one of the older guys on the team. You know, they said there's, I think, 7 first-time guys going in this year. So it feels good to me because, you know, the last couple of years I was always the youngest guy. So to be there with some young guys is going to be pretty exciting too.
Yeah, Brandon, talk more about that. It's pretty cool now that things have shifted and you've got those 7 younger guys looking up to you going, oh, my gosh, I get to play with Brandon Roy. That's got to be a pretty cool thing for you.
Yeah, I mean, I just think, you know, for me it's cool because, you know, my first time, you know, I'm looking around the locker room, I'm real nervous, and me and Chris Paul were actually there together, and we just, you know, we looking at each other like, you know, what you gonna do? You gonna shoot a jumper, you gonna try to get to the basket? And you know, I end up having to shoot a jumper, but it's just you're nervous, but you're excited. You just want to get out there on the floor and kind of start playing. And you know, I think some of the guys are going to have those same questions. You know, I know I asked Kobe, I said, you know, were you nervous your first All-Star game? And he was like, yeah, I think everybody is. He said, you know, my first game was at Madison Square Garden, and I was matched up against Jordan. So you can pretty much tell I was a little bit nervous. So it's just cool to kind of get behind the scenes and hear guys' stories, and I'm looking forward to see how these guys react to their first game.
Hey, Brandon, you guys are 29-21. Hard to believe you've already played 50 games before the All-Star break, and you still got a handful more before the break. You know, you're tied. It's a 3-way tie right now for 5th place in the Western Conference. How are you feeling about, I guess, the stretch run, you know, toward the postseason?
For me, I'm really excited about it. I can't wait to get back out there on the court and help the guys out. It's kind of hard because I feel like I'm in this helpless position just to watch and cheer my teammates on. But you know, I'm just so proud of the position that you know, the guys have kept us in, and I just can't wait to get back and help try to, you know, get us over the hump, because you know, there's not much of a gap between, you know, the third place team and the A place team. So we still can finish really high. We just got to continue to just keep fighting and keep scrapping and just continue to keep getting healthy.
It's exciting too, Brandon, that guys are starting to come back. I know one guy who you're looking forward to playing with once again is Travis, and it sounds like he's going to be back sometime in the next couple of weeks. Depth is going to become one of your challenges, and that's a great problem to have.
Yeah, especially, you know, you could tell as you get into January, February, March, you know, that's what I think most teams, you know, begin to look for is that depth. And you can tell in our last few games, I think just having Nicholas and Rudy coming off the bench has been a huge boost for us. And, you know, not to mention, you know, the great job that, you know, Dante Cunningham and Jeff Pendergraph are doing. I think it's helping us win ball games. I thought we won that game last night on energy alone. Just, you know, Charlotte just couldn't match our intensity, especially with those guys coming off the bench doing a great job of just being physical and continuing to attack them. I thought was wonderful. So, you know, depth is going to be something that's going to help us out this year. And I thought it did a great job of helping us in the second half of last year. If you look at our record, we were just deep and more fresh than teams.
Do you think that's going to help you guys in the back half of this season? Of course, you would never want the injuries, but now that a lot of the injuries are going to be behind you, how does that work to your advantage? Because you don't have the guys who are going to be banged up at this point of the season because they haven't been playing the whole year.
Yeah, most of the time, you know, you always hope that injuries don't happen in the second half of the year, you know, as you get closer to postseason play. And, you know, there's a good thing about these injuries is that, you know, they did happen early. You know, Nicholas was, I think, at the end of preseason, and Travis was within the first month. So, you know, there is a positive to it is that, you know, we will be healthy and I think fresher going down the stretch. And, you know, the biggest thing is I'm just looking forward to playing with guys because, like you said, so many guys have had to step up and mature so much that I think that it's going to only, you know, make the game easier for me. And in the fourth quarter of games, we got a number of guys we can go to. So I think it's going to be harder for teams to prepare for. So, you know, again, I just think it's the fact that guys have had the chance to mature and step up is going to only make this team better. You know, you got to. I thought Dante just did a great job last night, and I'm looking forward to him playing even more minutes. So it's just exciting for me. You know, I see Nicholas out there playing, and I can't wait to get back out there in the court with him. So it's just, you know, for me, it's trying to get back, you know, playing, but making sure that I'm healthy to go out there and try to finish this year.
Hey, Brandon, last thing, we'll let you go. Can you put into words what Juwan Howard has meant to this team this season? I mean, we see what he does on the court, and I know Rebecca and I, we're lucky we get to kind of peek into the huddle during timeouts. We see him helping to coach everybody else up, you know, but just his presence in the locker room, off the court, what has he meant to this team this season?
You know, it really is hard to put into words what he's done because it's, you know, most guys are, you know, who do a great job in the locker room. Sometimes they don't play as much, but, you know, he stepped up, you know, in a major way. You know, I if we pass an awards, I mean, I would probably have to give him like most inspirational MVP. You know, we give him all those things because he's done so much for us because, you know, he, you know, Juwan came into the team and, you know, we had Greg and Joel and LaMarcus and it wasn't expected of him to play, you know, that many minutes, but as soon as guys went down, I mean, he just did an unbelievable job of stepping up and not only leading the team, but making us feel like we can win every game we're in. And, you know, he gave a speech the other day just saying, you know, we got to have swagger walking into arenas and we have to go in there knowing we're going to win the game. And he said, we have to make the other team feel that. And I thought that was really, really neat of what he said because that's how the best teams are. It doesn't matter who they play or where they play. They walk in the arena and they feel like they're going to win. And that's just great having him around, being able to say that and put it into words better than, you know, maybe me or LaMarcus could.
Hey, Brandon, we really appreciate the time tonight. We know you're spending family time. And thanks for taking a few minutes for us and for Rip City, obviously. We're keeping our fingers crossed. Again, we know it's not for sure, but hopefully you'll be able to practice Friday. And, man, I can't imagine what the Rose Garden's going to be like if you're able to make your return Saturday against Kobe and the Lakers. Best of luck as you continue to fight back.
Yeah, thanks. Thanks again for having me.
All right, Brandon
thanks,
Roy
man.
Joined us live here on Trailblazers Courtside. So I think that's a little bit of news right here. I mean, it was a great workout that Brandon was able to have today, and nice that he was able to kind of go through, you know, a physical workout without any ill effects on that hamstring.
Yeah, very, very exciting. I think it's very promising. Obviously, we're all very excited for him to come back.
I'm kind of getting chills just thinking about what the game yeah, potentially.
Jay,
I know
Jay,
it's not guaranteed.
Jay,
but
Jay, stop.
No,
Jay,
I'm just saying, you know, the Lakers come to town, it's always crazy. But when if Brandon makes his return to the court after a couple weeks, it's going to be out of control.
Rest. Let him get
I
some
know,
rest
I'm
tonight.
Ahead
feel
of myself.
Good in the morning, Jay. Let Brandon ease back in.
No pressure, B-Roy, no pressure.
Right. I also think, yeah, we've got to think about the rest of the season, too.
Yeah, no,
so
you're
if
right.
he
no,
misses
absolutely.
The Lakers game, that's fine. I'd rather have him be healthy downstairs.
Absolutely. I couldn't agree more. All right, we'll take a quick break. We'll come back. We'll talk a little bit more about the news about Travis Outlaw and also a little more on last night's win over the Bobcats. Wheels is going to join us live from Salt Lake City. Blazers have a key game against the Jazz tomorrow night. We'll take a quick timeout. Come back with more of Trailblazers Courtside presented by Pacific Power.
We now continue with Trailblazers Courtside, presented by Pacific Power.
All right, we continue here on Trailblazers Courtside, presented by Pacific Power. And we're going to hear from Wheels in just a moment from Salt Lake City in our next segment. But great to have Brandon Roy on the show, and we certainly appreciate him taking the time to join us. And I love the news that he dropped on us about this workout earlier today with Monty Williams and the fact that he was able to pretty much go full contact. Now, it was just, you know, a couple guys out there, but he was able to bang a little bit. He said, I felt the hamstring a little, but I didn't feel like it was pulling or giving me any discomfort or anything. So that's huge news.
Oh, yeah. The fact that he was saying that he was able to jump and pivot mm-hmm. and switch gears, and that's where that hamstring can really jump up and get you. So the fact that he was able to do that without a lot of pain is super exciting.
The explosiveness. I mean, he was like a kid dunking for the first time. He said, I even dunked.
What is that like for a player? I mean, when you're coming back from an injury, especially one of those, it's not like a broken bone. You know, it's not like you can go to the film and say, okay, this bone is healed. We'll put you back out there. You kind of got to learn how to trust your body again, don't you?
Yeah, you got to get the confidence in the injured part of your body back first, and then you got to take a hit and get into competitive play. Mm-hmm. And when you're an all-star and you're in Brandon Roy's position, there's kind of a few other layers that come with it as well, because when you step on the floor, there's the expectation that you're going to be the dominant player. And that there's a lot to that, and that's why it's important that the team is really protecting Brandon from himself, really, and easing him back and making sure he has enough time to sufficiently heal.
Yeah, hamstrings are tough. I actually tore mine running track in college.
You tore it?
Yeah, I tore it. And it's a super frustrating injury because you can – as you're getting healthy, you can kind of take it to the brink, and then as soon as you go 1 inch past that line of what your body's ready for, you can set yourself back. So I think that the trainers have done such a great job of making sure that Brandon is handling, obviously Brandon would too, but that they've been super careful. I just think that's really important, because it's a really tough injury. You tear those fibers, and it just takes them a while to come back and heal.
We were talking earlier about Nicholas Batum, 15 points, 9 rebounds last night, and he was the spark down the stretch when the Blazers kind of started to pull away from Charlotte. I'm curious, Coach, what have you seen from Nick? And it's funny because it seems like he's been back more than 5 games, but he's only been back for 5 games. What have you seen from him, just the growth and the development in his game?
Well, I mean, he has so much more confidence on the offensive end. I mean, not just shooting jumpers, but driving the ball, driving closeouts. And, you know, I think everybody recognizes he has a presence on the defensive end. But he kind of looks like, and hopefully people don't take this the wrong way, like the caged animal and now the gate is open. I mean, he's coming out so hard and so assertive. And I think that's kind of shocking everybody that, you know, when you come back from an injury and you've been out a while, that you come back better than you were. That just generally is not how it happens.
I think people have forgotten how much he improved this summer too. And then during this whole time that he was injured, he was just taking shot after shot after shot and workout after workout after workout with Monty. So he had so much time to improve. But I think the other thing that's so great about him is we've seen him mature as a person. Mm-hmm. He's got just a very happy, humble demeanor always, but he's got a swagger now that I think is really great to see.
Yeah, in fact, Monty, and one of the reasons we're having him on tonight, we'll have him at 7:05, but one of the reasons I wanted to have him on is because I was listening to him talk today after practice to the media, and he talked for about 5, maybe 10 minutes about just the growth and development that he's seen from Nicholas, not only as a player, but as a person. I mean, he came over here a little over a year ago as a rookie out of French, didn't know the language very well, you know, was dealing with a new culture and just new city and a new country, for crying out loud, you know, and I think he's adjusted very, very well. And then to have to deal with the adversity of the injury at the start of this season, the surgery and everything. And, you know, just listening to him talk, I think he has kind of that swagger a little bit. Not in an unhealthy or a negative way, but he's just, I guess, maybe confident, more confident right now.
Jay, what you got to recognize about Nicholas Batum's skill set is you don't have to run plays for him. There's nothing that anybody has to do for him to have an impact on the game, because he can steal the ball in defense. So he can get himself in the open court. He rebounds. He has a handle, open court and half court. Mm-hmm. So Nicholas Batum is an impact player, and I think the confidence has come now that he realizes, wait a minute, I can have an impact every night without plays called for me, and I can guard the other team's best player 1 through 5 in terms of positions. I mean, he guarded Dirk to lock the Dallas win in. Yeah. That's huge.
All right, we got to take a timeout. We'll come back. Wheels will be with us live from Salt Lake City as the Blazers try to beat the Jazz tomorrow night. Remember, that is now a 6 o'clock tip-off, 5 o'clock pregame show on radio. And let me just check my schedule. That is on KGW News Channel 8 for TV coverage. So we will have that game coming up tomorrow night. We'll preview it with Wheels next from Salt Lake City as we continue here on Trailblazers Courtside.
Now back to Courtside, presented by Pacific Power on the Trailblazers Radio Network.
All right, we're back here. It is Trailblazers Courtside, brought to you by, as always, Pacific Power. Jay Allen, Michael Holton, and Rebecca Harlow here from our Rose Garden studios. And the Blazers are in Salt Lake City. Yes, there's Michael and Rebecca. And the Blazers are in Salt Lake City as they get ready to take on the Utah Jazz. And to discuss that matchup, Brian Wheeler joins us live. Wheels, my friend, how are you? You guys had a good trip down there, I assume?
Wheels.
We did. We did. And I wanted to say right off the top that I know that Coach Holton is has a fine collection of hats, as we've come to see, but I'm not sure that he could pull off wearing a hat as attractive as the one that Rebecca has on today.
If Michael Holton showed up in this hat, there might be a problem, but it is a woman's
hat.
No.
Rebecca's rocking a different range. She can go some places with the hair and the hat. I can't go, Wills.
And we actually had an email earlier. Mike in Beaverton said his mom wanted to know what kind of hat and style that Rebecca is wearing.
Well, so, I can tell you guys about the reason why I have a lot of hats now. It's because I did so many football games this fall in cold places like Minnesota at night that I had to have that hat collection because it was freezing cold.
But the coolest hat that I now own is my Wheels at Work baseball cap that is going to double as my spring golf cap.
Yeah, and actually, Wheels, I have a bone to pick with you on that one because that Wheels at Work hat was on Jared Bayless last night at the game. It was on a couple other guys were wearing. Who else?
Juwan
Caleb had it on at the game. Where's
really?
My hat? Where's my hat, Wheels?
Well, you know, Beck, none of the TV brethren have asked me for a hat. I have plenty in reserve, so you are the first. So I will happily have a hat for you if you're at the game tomorrow or Thursday. I'll have one. If not, I'll have one for you Saturday.
Yes, thank you, Wheels.
Wheels, I like the marketing, the limited distribution. You know, you got to be on the inside to get one that's big.
Yes, my only requirement is that I need to see whoever I give it to. I need to see them wearing the hat one time in the next month. And the day I give it to him does not count. Otherwise, I rescind the hat because I had to, you know, some expenditure on my part to make the hat. So I have to make sure that the people that are wearing them truly do appreciate having one. So,
I will wear it with pride.
Yeah, well, Cap just said we should all start wearing them on the show every week. So, you know, we can probably arrange
that. And I need to get one for Cap, too, because, yes, he has promised to wear one when we go to the captain's camp.
There you go, a cap for Cap. That'd be great. Wheels, I guess you're watching on Trailblazers.com. Of course, we stream the show live every week, Trailblazers.com, and then it's archived. You can always go back and watch it any time. But I assume you heard Brandon Roy, and it's very positive news. I know Michael and Rebecca, they're telling me to just keep it in perspective, stay calm, but I'm getting excited already about the potential.
Can't even talk about it without getting all fired
up.
Wow.
Brandon practicing on Friday and then potentially, possibly, maybe playing against the Lakers on Saturday.
Well, the only thing that's disappointing is a week or so ago when we were looking at this week, we thought there was a chance he could play Thursday. There had been some talk about he wouldn't play in both games of this back-to-back, but that maybe he would play in the second game. But after listening to him now and again, as you pointed out, Jay, Nate, wanting him to get in at least one practice, it does look all the more like he will miss these next two games. But, yes, what a triumphant return that would be, as if the Rose Garden would need any extra electricity on Saturday night to have him come back for the game against the Lakers would be pretty special.
Boy, Kobe Bryant brings out the best in all of us, doesn't he? Golly.
Well, at least he brings out emotion anyway.
Enough teams that we played this year have had their star players return.
Yeah, no kidding.
They've shown up on our schedule, so it'd be nice for once for maybe, you know, another team to experience that.
You know, Wheels, even if Brandon doesn't come back, because we're hoping that he's just healthy at whatever point he does come back, the last couple of ball games, especially that win in Dallas, I think these guys are figuring out how to win, especially in the fourth quarter. And I think they could beat L.A. on Saturday, even if they don't have Brandon.
Yeah, nothing this team does anymore surprises me. I mean, it's been tremendous what they've been able to accomplish. I thought that maybe they were running on fumes a little bit going into that Dallas game, but it seemed like that game rejuvenated them a little bit, and they had a very convincing win last night over a Charlotte team that had been having a tremendous road trip, so I was very impressed by that. Now we'll see how good they really are, because obviously they're playing a Utah team tomorrow night that not only is always difficult to beat here in Salt Lake City, but a team that is about as hot as anybody in the NBA right now. So, and a team the Blazers are competing with not only for second place in the Northwest Division, but for a playoff spot and trying to get up to home court advantage, trying to get one of those top four seeds. So there's a lot on the line, and obviously the Jazz have won the first two meetings, so time for a little payback, and it would be a really tremendous accomplishment if the Blazers could somehow win this game tomorrow night, and it might set up the final two games of the week at home against the Spurs and Lakers.
Wills, you know, the Blazers are playing an energy game right now. I mean, you look at the game against the Bobcats, and you really look at Nicholas Batum and what he brings. But 48 points in the paint, 12 fast break points. You start adding up these easy basket category points, and the question becomes, will the Trailblazers continue, in your opinion, to play at that clip or at that speed in terms of easy baskets?
You know, I think they have to, Coach Oden. And then you go back to the Dallas game, 60 points in the paint in that particular game, too. So that was very, very encouraging, especially to do that on the road. So tomorrow against Utah, I mean, you're going to have energy without question, especially to win at the Energy Solutions Arena, because this is a place where the Jazz have won some very big games over the years, as we know. And against the Blazers, you know, they've been very dominant. They've won the last four meetings with the Blazers here in Salt Lake City, 10 out of the last 11. So it's not a very friendly place to play. And, you know, the two meetings this year have just been very one-sided. I mean, the Jazz not only have won the two games with the Blazers, but in both cases, it was wire-to-wire jobs. I mean, we haven't even had a tie. I'd be satisfied if we start off the game 2-2. That would be progress for the first two meetings. And, you know, and on top of that, the two best shooting performances by Blazer opponents this year, field goal percentage-wise, have been the two meetings with Utah. So they've done whatever they've wanted to do offensively, and when they get into a groove, they can be a very efficient and fine-tuned team to watch at the offensive end of the floor. The Blazers have to do a few things, I think, to disrupt what they like to do.
Although, you know, Wheels, one thing that's been interesting about the two matchups against Utah is the Blazers have only shot 40% average in those two contests, and really there's so much room to improve there, and that's so far below what they typically shoot that it seems like if they get off to a quick start, there is certainly room to turn this thing around.
Yeah, no question. And, you know, we don't think of the Jazz as a great defensive team. I mean, this is a club that's, you know, giving up 97 points a game, and teams are shooting 45% against them. Where, again, they get you a little bit is that they're a tremendous front-running team. We're talking about a club that leads the league in assists. They lead the league in field goal percentage. I was just taking a look at when they have a lead after three quarters, they it up. I mean, they're 24-1 this year when they lead after three quarters. So if you let them get out and dictate things, it's usually trouble, especially in their building. So the Blazers are going to have to be prepared to have a good start to the game tomorrow night. And if they can get the jump on the Jazz a little bit, you know, again, anytime you play Jerry Sloan's team, you have to be willing to, you know, to take the fight to them, because they're going to play hard, they're going to play rough, they're going to send hard screams, they're going to, you know, they're going to battle you every inch of the way. That's just the way Jerry Sloan is, that's the way his teams are. And so if you're not ready for a 48-minute fight, then chances are you're going to come out on the short end.
All right, Wills, they beat Dallas last night, 104-92. No Carlos Boozer, doesn't look like he's going to come back until later this week. But Paul Millsap, I mean, had a great game for them, 25 points, 9 rebounds. Are they that much different without Boozer in the lineup?
No, I mean, again, I think that Millsap, that's the great luxury they have, to have that kind of depth at that power forward position. You know, we know that Boozer missed a fair share of games last season, and they did miss a beat. That was Millsap's coming out season. So I don't really think they miss much of a beat without Boozer available. And so Millsap, I think, is very comfortable stepping into that role. I don't think he's quite the pick-and-roll guy that Boozer is, but, you know, he can do some other things. He's certainly a physical player, maybe even a little bit more so, you know, than Boozer is. So, you know, from that standpoint, a lot of the style of play that they have doesn't suffer very much. But, you know, Boozer had a tremendous last game against the Blazers until he got hurt, and hasn't been able to play since. So, you know, in that contest, as we remember, guys, the Blazers got down by 25 points and fought their way back and made things interesting in the fourth quarter, but couldn't get over the hump, couldn't get any closer than five. So, again, you just don't want to bury yourself against this team early, because most of the time you're not going to be able to climb the hill to get back out.
Wills, one of the things that you said about Jerry Sloan's teams that when I had a chance to talk to him when he was here, he said it. He said, our game is a screening game. You know, we screen you offensively and we negotiate screens defensively. And to me, that's code for physical. We're going to be physical. My teams are going to be physical. And so the Trailblazers, that's not their strength. I mean, and so I guess what I'm trying to envision in this game, are the Trailblazers going to find a way to combat that? It involves fast break basketball or spacing and just dribble penetration a la Gerald Bayless or posting Andre Miller. I'm trying to figure out how the Trailblazers are going to continue to score in the paint and get easy buckets against a team who is determined to be physical.
Well, you know, Coach Holton, if you were here in Utah, you'd probably be in a meeting right now with Nate and his staff trying to figure that very thing out, because obviously they're probably asking that same question after the meetings. They have not you know, turned out very well, as we said. And again, for the Jazz to be as dominant as they have been, clearly the Blazers can go only can only go up from where things went in the first two meetings with this team. So again, I think it's just one of where it's almost like going up against the schoolyard bully. You know, if you aren't ready to hit first, you know, you're going to be, you know, retreating all night long. I look back to the game at the Rose Garden, and I think the play that kind of symbolizes the way the Jazz like to do things, I remember Carlos Boozer setting a really hard pick on Nicholas Batum right on that shoulder to make sure that that shoulder was sound. And I thought maybe for Nicholas's sake, it was probably a good thing that he was able to, you know, see that he could take a hit like that and not have to worry about it. And now his shoulder, I'm sure he believes, truly is fine. But they're going to test you in every respect. I mean, and if you've got a weakness, they're going to try to find it. So Jerry Sloan has been doing this for a lot of years. He's always been, to me, for a guy who's achieved as much as he has, still to me one of the more underrated head coaches in the league. It's amazing that he's never been a coach of the year, because he's had a lot of great teams. I know he hasn't been able to compete for as many championships as maybe he and the Jazz would have liked, but they are a consistent team. I mean, night in, night out, season in. They've actually had a 500 record now for 25 out of the last 26 seasons. So that is remarkable consistency. And it's really, and I think the real testament is, you know what's coming, and yet it's still very difficult to stop. So that's the Blazers' challenge, to try to find a way to, if not stop it, at least control it a little better than they have the first two times that they've met the Jazz this year.
All right, Wills, we'll let you go. We can hear either Antonio or Bobby Medina trying to beep in and make dinner plans or movie plans or something. So we'll let you go. Have a great night in Salt Lake City there.
Well,
the Medina
care.
Family, you know, lives here in Utah.
Yeah.
So
I think
there are big dinner plans potentially being set. So, yeah, it's always good to see the Medina clan. It's the only reason to me to come to Utah other than having to play a game. It's not one of my favorite stops at the circuit, as it were.
The hotel is nice, but there's nowhere to eat around there.
You're right about that, Beck, and there really is. And it's not it's a nice hotel, but, yeah, it's not really, you know, if you're looking for a lot of social things to do, Utah's not probably the place to, you know, to come to.
All right, Wheels, we appreciate it. We'll talk to you tomorrow evening at 5:05 on the pregame show on radio. All right, Brian Wheeler with us live from Salt Lake City here on Trailblazers Courtside. Quick timeout. We'll come back with more right after this.
Trailblazers Courtside, presented by Pacific Power, is brought to you by Branding, your brand management partner. Now, back to Courtside, presented by Pacific Power, on the Trailblazers Radio Network.
Trailblazers Courtside continues, presented as always by Pacific Power and Energy Trust of Oregon. Energy efficiency tips and incentives available at pacificpower.net. Let's turn the answers on. All right, we're going to give away some Courtside gear coming up in a few minutes. But we've gotten several emails. By the way, you can email us courtside@trailblazers.com, or if you prefer to text, just send your question. Actually, send the word courtside to 66937, then you'll receive instructions back on how to submit your question here to us on Courtside. But we've gotten several emails and texts about Nicholas Batum. He's playing at a very high level, as we talked about earlier in the five games. Obviously, he was a big-time reason the Blazers won last night against Charlotte with the 15 points, the 9 rebounds. At one point, he scored 6 in a row. He took that charge. I mean, playing at a high level. So now the questions come, Coach Holton, should Nate put him back in the starting lineup and put Martell back on the bench? How do you handle that if you're a head coach?
It works itself out. It's a good question. But right now I think what Nicholas Batum is doing is he's playing his role perfectly. He's coming in. He's bringing energy. He's turning the tempo of the game up. And you love to be able to bring that off your bench. So the question becomes, from a chemistry standpoint, do you get more from Nicholas off the bench than you're going to get from Martell? You know, and those are the things from a coaching standpoint that you have to massage. And in this particular situation, because you have other moving pieces with Travis coming, there's just other variables, mm-hmm. Rudy getting healthy. You know, so it's not quite as simple as, has Nicholas played well enough to start? Of course he has. Is it the best thing for the team? Well, that's a Nate McMillan question.
Yeah, and I think Nate, Rebecca, he said today after practice, he said, you know, hey, sure, I've thought about it. Mm-hmm. We're considering all options and all combinations, as you would expect a head coach in the NBA to do. He said he's not going to seriously consider it, you know, until Brandon comes back. And even then, he said, hey, I'm just going to let it play out. And, Coach, I think you make a good point. After the All-Star break, within a week or so, Travis is going to be back. So a lot of moving pieces there, especially at the 3/4 positions.
Yeah, I agree. And, you know, when you take a look at the Blazers situation right now, I think it's a tough move to take Marty out of that starting lineup, put him on the bench. Does that hurt him more from a mental aspect than it does actually putting Nick in the starting lineup? Because you know Nick right now is just happy to get the minutes and bring that aggression no matter what. So I think you've got to be careful with that. And Nate McMillan, I was talking to him yesterday, still has a whole lot of faith in Martell. He might not be shooting as well as he wants to right now, but a shooter's going to keep shooting, and this slump is only going to last so long for him. However, the flip side would be that if you do put Martell on the second unit, he will provide energy in that second unit as well.
Mm-hmm. You know, I think it's almost like their roles have flip-flopped. You know, a year ago, Batum started and didn't play a whole lot.
Mm-hmm.
Now I think Batum could not start and play a whole lot. And Martell, I lost my thought there. I got all twisted.
That's okay.
But the roles have reversed.
Yeah.
I think Martell could start and not play a lot. Mm-hmm.
All right, we're going to – I think that's well said. We'll take a break here, and when we come back, we'll check the scores. We'll give away some very coveted courtside gear as we continue here on Trailblazers Courtside live from the Rose Garden.
Now, back to Courtside, presented by Pacific Power on the Trailblazers Radio Network.
And we continue here on Trailblazers Courtside. We'll check the scores in just a moment. First, though, we ask, who's the first person you think of when someone says, great coach? For me, it's Coach Michael Holton.
Jay, you're always so kind to me. Now let's take it and keep it a little realer.
Well, now is your time to honor the inspirational individual in your life by nominating them to be Ford Coach of the Year. I'm going to nominate you as soon as we get done with the show. Four winners will be selected to receive $2,500 towards their organization. Your Northwest Ford stores and the Trailblazers will also recognize winners with a special assembly. Visit trailblazers.com for details. And I'm sorry to say I don't think you're eligible, Coach.
No, I want to nominate my high school coach, George Turgeon.
Okay. That was what high school?
Pasadena High School. There Pasadena Bulldogs.
There you go. All right, let's look at the scoreboard. Lots of action tonight in the association. The Pistons lead the Nets 96-93. New Jersey looks like they're going to lose again. There's only 10 seconds left in that game. They're 4-42.
Ouch. Kiki.
Yeah. Clippers on top of the Bulls 80-68. That's early in the fourth.
Bummer.
The Thunder lead the Hawks 81-72. Rockets out in front of the Warriors 65-51 in the third. The Cavs beat the Grizzlies 105-89. That helps
That's
the Blazers.
Good, yeah.
Pacers over the Raptors 130-115 as Danny Granger had 23. And the Magic beat the Bucks 99-82. Dwight Howard 22-11. All right. How would you like to win a limited edition Trailblazers courtside hat? Be one of the first five emailers to our show right now. And you'll win a great hat from Branding. We'll then select one of those hat winners to win a great fleece jacket from Branding. Send your email, emails only, to courtside@trailblazers.com. There's the hat on Comcast. Remember to include your address in your email. When the Blazers need Branding merchandise, they call Branding at 503-663-2858. Branding, your Branding merchandise partner. Quick time out at the top of the hour. Monty Williams, Blazers assistant coach, joins us next live from Utah right here on Comcast Sportsnet and the Trailblazers Radio Network.
Trailblazers Courtside, presented by Pacific Power, will continue after this 5-minute news break.